morning, everybody.
Morning, Pete.
Happy Mother's Day. In the earlier service, I could say Happy Grandmother's Day and Happy Great Grandmother's Day, but Happy Mother's Day, all the same. If you've got your Bibles open at that Isaiah passage, keep it open because I'll be referring to it as we go along. And now let me just pray for us as we start. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it's so accurate and it's just so relevant to us today. We just pray that you would open up to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's the best invitation that you've received? Was it an invitation to a wedding or to a dinner or to a party maybe? Maybe someone has invited you to a great sporting event, corporate seats at the footy or the tennis, or maybe someone's had great theatre tickets, or they've invited you to front row seats at that great rock concert that you'd always wanted to go to. What was it about the invitation that made you want to reply, "I'd love to go"? What did you envisage it would be like? And when you went, was it better than you expected? I remember being invited years ago by a friend at a home group Bible study to go fishing. I was a keen fisherman and this guy knew it as well. And he invited me to come fishing at Barrenjoey Headland, and we were going to fish all night. And we were chasing the elusive jewfish. And this jewfish had eluded me for some time. I'd seen many caught before, some of them 80 pounds and 2 metres long, but I'd never landed one myself. So I was just dead keen to catch my first jewfish. So we trudged out to the end of Barrenjoey and around dusk, and we fished and fished, and we didn't even get a bite. But about midnight, I noticed that there was some foamy water up around the end of the rocks. And when I lived up at Yamba on the north coast, some of the fishermen have said there, look, the jewfish are hiding underneath that foamy water, and they're going to ambush the fish that are hiding there. So I thought, okay. So I re-rigged and I put on a set of gang hooks, took off the sinker, put on a nice fresh pilchard and whew, I threw the line out and just landed in this foamy water. And it only sunk like about a metre when, bang, this big fish grabbed it and it was off like a freight train. And it was taking line and I pulled back and I hooked onto it. It was great. After about 15 minutes of fighting this fish, I finally washed it into a small bay in the rocks. And my mate went down with his gaff to get it. Just as he went to gaff the fish, a big wave came, he lost the gaff, he cut himself on the oysters and shells. I went, oh no, it's lost. And then he reached down and he grabbed it by the gills and he pulled it up on his hip. And it was about a metre long and it was over 25 pounds. Wow. What a great invitation, and it was way better than I expected. I kind of doubted that this was going to happen at all. You know, the next day and for months afterwards, I was just telling everyone about this fish that I caught. I'm telling it to you today. In fact, I was so keen with this fish that I left it so late before I even cleaned it, so one of the fish didn't go off. Today we're looking at Isaiah 55, and if you have that passage open, I'll be referring to it as I said. We're looking at Isaiah 55 and the greatest invitation of all by none other than God himself. Isaiah is a prophet and he's been prophesying about the future concerning Israel. He's been talking about Israel's sin and God's righteous judgment. Israel had rejected God's rule and is about to go into exile in Babylon. The slaves that God rescued from Egypt and turned into that great nation of Israel are to be slaves once more. As Isaiah continues to write, he looks forward to a time when God will have compassion on his people. Israel has endured God's wrath for long enough, and now he calls them back to himself from exile in Babylon. His offer of forgiveness is for all who will turn to him, and their salvation will come through his suffering servant, the Messiah, of Isaiah 53. Now this invitation is addressed to the Jews in exile from their country and their God, but it also looks forward to a time when those in exile from God, because of their sins, are invited to turn to the Lord and be free from sin's captivity. This Old Testament prophecy is just as relevant for us today as it was for the Jews then. So let's get into it. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Those who thirst for God are invited to come to the rich waters of God that satisfy the deep longings of the soul. Let me read Psalm 42. We have these words. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Only in a right relationship with God is our soul truly satisfied. Do you thirst for God? Do you long to meet with Him? Is there a longing deep within you, a hunger and a thirst for satisfaction and fulfillment in life that you're searching for but you just can't find? Or has your thirst for God dwindled and you feel that God is far away from you? Or maybe you've turned away from God and you just can't find your way back to Him. Well, today in this passage, He warmly invites you to come to Him. Maybe you think that you have nothing to offer God. You're not good enough for Him. Your bad deeds are outweighing your good deeds. You try hard to live a good life, but you make your fair share of mistakes. Well, you're right. The Bible tells us that none are worthy of God. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As we learned from Jim last week, when we looked at Revelation chapters 3 and 4, God is three things. He's perfectly holy, God is almighty, and God is Lord over all creation. Well, by comparison, we are sinners who fall short of God's glory. We shall fall short of God's standard. And we're all in the same boat. We're spiritually bankrupt, living in exile as slaves to sin. Our currency of sin is worthless to purchase the rich treasures of God's bounty. But here in this warm invitation, He says, come and eat without money and without cost. You ever gone to the supermarket with a maxed out credit card? Or not enough money in your Xbox account? Happened to me a few times. You got any groceries on the counter and you zap your card through and it comes up declined.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's meant to say approved. Those with no money, those that acknowledge that they are spiritually bankrupt, are invited to buy wine and milk without money and without cost, because Jesus has paid it all in full. Now we stand approved before God, not because of our good deeds, but because Jesus has paid our debt of sin in full. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Wine that gladdens the heart, milk that nourishes the body. But what if you're living for yourself with no regard for God at all? You're pursuing the things in life that you think will bring you joy and fulfillment, but they only leave you wanting more. A new car, a better job, a new kitchen with European appliances, a bigger house, a smaller waist, a secure investment, high interest, low fees, travel plans, no health problems, people's approval, and the list goes on and on. We search for significance and fulfillment in the pursuits of life, only to be disillusioned and disappointed. Verse 2, those who spend their time and money pursuing the things that don't satisfy, they're invited to eat what is good. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And again, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. This is a warm invitation from God for all that will turn to him and accept his invitation to a life of peace and fulfillment, enjoying the riches of God's fare. By comparison, it's like being ravenously hungry and only having dirt to eat. Sure, it fills you up, but it just doesn't satisfy, does it? The riches of God's fare are like a banquet table, filled with wonderful foods, each one a delight to the eyes and the palate. Nothing in this world compares to what God has to offer you. Now, a few years ago, Kay and I decided we'd go for a weekend away. We've been working hard and we needed that break to recharge again. And so we looked online and we found a great deal on two nights accommodation at Pepper's Resort at Port Stephens. Anyway, we arrived there late on Friday night. We had a bit of dinner and then we got an early night. And the next day we went downstairs for our all-inclusive breakfast. We'd slept in a bit and so we're pretty hungry by this time. As we walked down the stairs, set before us was the most wonderful buffet breakfast you can imagine, set in picturesque waterfront surroundings. There was all types of cereals with fresh poached fruits. Never seen poached fruits before, just the aroma of it was amazing. There was freshly brewed coffee, a selection of teas, crispy bacon, poached, fried or scrambled eggs, sausages, grilled tomato, field mushrooms, and fresh homemade condiments, as well as Danish pastries. Now, if that wasn't enough, they'd also make you an omelette of your choice if you wanted that. It's kind of like the Mother's Day breakfast that all you mothers got this morning. It was hard to leave the table and we had to skip lunch. In fact, we had to go for a long walk after that. The invitation of God far outweighs anything that the world can offer. God's invitation is an invitation to life. Let's look at verse 3. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. God calls us into a covenant relationship with him, not based on our good deeds, but based on his faithful love. The covenant is everlasting and it is made in and through the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Israel had broken God's covenant with them, and they were living in exile for their sins. Now, there was nothing that they could do to change that situation. They needed to be redeemed from their slavery. They needed an amnesty which would pardon them from their sins and allow them to return to the Lord. God's offer of amnesty to us is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God's invitation is an invitation to life, and it's an invitation to life eternal based on his love for us through Jesus. How do we respond to this invitation? What's our RSVP? Let's have a look at verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Seek, call, forsake, turn. These are the steps. Let me say them again. Seek, call, forsake, turn. Now here's the message of the gospel in that Old Testament book of Isaiah. Kind of amazing, isn't it? We seek after God. We listen to his invitation to life. We call on the name of Jesus. We forsake our sinful ways, our thoughts and our actions. And we turn to the Lord Jesus, putting our trust in him. What's the result? God shows us mercy and pardons us for our sins. Now God's invitation can't be ignored. It can't be put off. Seek the Lord while he is may be found. Call on him while he is near. God's plan of salvation kind of defies human logic. We don't really understand it. We're all about, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. Or, you know, I'll live a good life and God will accept me. But it doesn't work like that. How can I, a sinner in exile from God, ever earn the right to receive his pardon and forgiveness? We're like those Israelites stuck in Babylon. And yet that's the offer that's on the table to all that will accept his invitation to life. Doesn't make sense, but maybe verses 8 to 11 will give us a bit of insight. Let's read those ones. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God is beyond our comprehension. And he always achieves the purposes that he desires. You know that God's plan for the fullness of time is to unite all things in heaven and earth under the lordship and the headship of Christ. And it's going to happen. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God's plans never fail. Well, finally, in verses 12 and 13, we see the outcome of accepting God's invitation. Joy, peace, and blessing in a life that brings glory to God. What do we do about it? God is calling you today to come to him and to put your trust in him. You come to him bringing nothing but yourself. You need to listen to his call and act on it before it's too late. You need to forsake your sinful ways, your thoughts and your actions, and accept his invitation. You need to turn to God while he is near, and you need to do it today. When you turn to the Lord through faith in Jesus, he will have mercy on you and forgive you all your sins. God's act of acceptance and forgiveness as an act of grace defies human logic. But his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we have the assurance that God will achieve all that he desires. His purpose for you is fulfilled in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Peace, joy and blessing are promised to all who turn to God in faith, trusting in Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. Even the heavens and the earth rejoice as God's plan of salvation is revealed in the life of a sinner that repents and turns to Jesus in faith. God's invitation goes out to all the world, and he's calling on us to give that invitation out. It's an invitation too good to keep to ourselves, and it's an invitation to life eternal. It's an offer too good to refuse. Are you living in eager anticipation of the fulfilment of God's invitation? Now, when I first caught that first jewfish, for days and months, I was just telling everyone about it. I'm even talking about it today again. Are you sharing God's invitation with everyone? Has the experience of accepting God's invitation affected you in such a way that you can't wait to pass that invitation on? God's invitation is for all mankind. It's an invitation to a life of purpose and fulfilment that brings peace and joy. It is an offer too good to refuse, and it is an invitation that you need to accept today. Why live a life that has no purpose and a life that does not satisfy? Why live a life that has no real security? Why live a life that has no hope and no assurance? God warmly invites you to turn to him today. Now, you can do this morning and you won't be disappointed. If God is calling you this morning to come to him, to give your life to him, or even to just renew your commitment to him, just pray along with me in your mind as I make this prayer. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess to you that I've turned away from you as my Lord, and I've been living for myself. I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I accept your invitation to life. I turn to you today and I put my trust in you as my Lord and my Saviour.